The final hour on the sunny side of your number one station for Talk 90.39 Dura Info FM. Good afternoon to you, and I hope that your last day in the month of October and your Tuesday is coming on as planned. If not, hey, I don't know what to say to you, Sha. My name is Denise Eniswalu, and it is time to have that conversation I told you about in the first hour of the sunny side today. Ideas rule the world. How to think, make, and grow ideas in line with the current realities. My guest is in the studio, and I would be introducing him shortly. Now, they say ideas rule the world, and a lot of you must have heard that countless times. Everything you see today was birthed by ideas. There wouldn't be no mass communication or media if someone didn't think about the need to inform people, enlighten them, and educate them, entertain them along the line. You see, information and communication, technology, real estate, education, medicine, I mean, everything is as a result of ideas. It's an undisputable fact that in sane climes, ideas rule, and people with ingenious mindsets are greatly respected. In politics, people are respected if they have money or ideas. But if they are revered, then it means they have both. The importance of ideas can never be underscored, and this is because ideas make the world go round. In our contemporary society, there are great innovations. I mean, think about it. Innovations by entrepreneurial minds, people who have been able to think out of the box and created products that have made the world a better place. For instance, there's Henry Ford, who invented Ford Motors. For those of you who are into cars, you should know the name. There is Mark Zuckerberg, who created Facebook, and now he bought over Instagram, renamed it Meta. There's Bill Gates, he invented Microsoft. There's Thomas Edison, who is credited with thousands of inventions, including the photograph and the electric light bulb. And the list goes on and on and on. How can we leverage on ideas in line with our current realities? A man of many parts is in the studio with us, looking like a bishop. I don't know if I'm going to add that title to his name. His co-founder and director of Admin and People or Operations Sing Forest Limited. He's a fellow of the Mentoring and Career Development Institute of Nigeria. He is a performance strategist. Take note of this since I'm calling now. He's an economic emancipator, an educational consultant, and a life coach, one who is passionate about leadership, grooming, youth empowerment, and business growth and development. And to tell you the truth, he's no stranger to Nigeria Info. Now, when you listen to the voice, you will know what I mean. I say something now. I don't say you should laugh. I say you should say something.
I was listening to you reel out all of those things, and I was wondering, is it me or somebody?
It's you now. Saikechi Wogu is his name. That is the man.
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, so I think it was days ago, last week to be precise, some organization came together to organize a Making Nigerian conference, and you were one of the keynote speakers at that particular event, and you talked about this, ideas rule the world, and I thought to myself that if we make for great conversation, if we can replicate and even have more of all those people that were present at that event experience, hence we have you in the studio. There's a lot of ifs and what ifs. There's a lot of uncertainties. And the truth of the matter is the answer to someone's burning question or desire may be hinged around one idea. So we'll just try to navigate around what it is. Starting with the question, is everyone actually capable of birthing an idea?
Yes, everyone is. Everyone has got a brain. A functional brain. Mm. An idea could be a suggestion. Anything could be an idea. Oh, I have an idea to go drink water. I think I am thirsty. I need to go drink water. So any kind of idea. But what we really call ideas are ideas that come from the brain, go through the basics of the thinking flow, and then can be substantiated. Mm. Okay, so, you know, we have always said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think it's actually in scriptures, right? Mm. Yeah, and then, of course, a lot of postulations have come around there. And, you know, as a nation thinks in their hearts, so are they. So no nation can grow beyond the substance of the ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why you go to Japan. You see the manifestation of the ideas. Mm. Everything was once an idea, a spark in the brain, and this is what it is. So you also would imagine the strangeness with Nigeria, why Nigeria is where we are. Okay, we've got ideas, but there hasn't really been the needed interest shown by the components that make up the idea faculty.
Mm.
Yeah, the idea ecosystem.
Mm.
Okay, and so sometimes you have an idea, you take it to government, it's jettisoned. Sometimes you have an idea, you don't have funds for it. You go to an elder brother or an uncle and he throws it away. I remember back then when Sinfores was being born, you know, I threw the idea by an uncle who was a senior, he was a director in government. And rather than say, I don't have money to invest in your idea, he said, why don't you throw this idea away? It doesn't make sense. Convert, what is electronic this and that? Why don't you just print textbooks and sell? And I ignored him. I never discussed that idea with him, okay, because he wasn't the right person. He wasn't a bad person, but he didn't see the future. And it's more than 20 years on, and, you know, the rest is history. So we would always also very quickly say that there are three kinds of thinkers in every nation. Okay, we've got the primary level thinkers, we've got the secondary level thinkers, and then the tertiary level thinkers. Okay, now whichever level is greatly or more adequately in supply in any nation will define how far the nation would perform. So primary level thinkers, who are they? There are people you just tell Denise is a bad girl and they take it, they take it. A lot of our politicians are like that. Oh, this politician is bad and that's it. Oh, this person is good and that's it. And they could easily be swayed either to the right or to the left. They don't process thought.
Mm.
Whatever information they hear, that's it. Okay, they don't think. I've interacted with a lot of people who tell me, I'm not a deep thinker. They are very shallow thinkers. And for real, they just take whatever they are told. Cheap gossip, cheap information, and they don't want to run with it. And then you have also interacted with people. In fact, I'm interacting with someone right now who over the past 3 days has come up with three positions on one thing. So my friend asked me, so what are you going to do? I said, let me wait. He's yet to land. So how do you build a base? How do you build substance on something that has not even landed? Primary level thinkers, right? Then we've got the secondary level thinkers. Secondary level thinkers are people who you've heard, let me put two and two together. So they put two and two together. Denise doesn't come across like a bad person. Oh, from the foregoing, don't you see the way she dresses? She looks decent. She could pass across as this. So they are processing thought. They are putting two and two ideas together, stemming from knowledge and all that. And they form an opinion. Okay, they form a position. Not just hypothesis now. They form a position. They are secondary level thinkers. And we have a lot of them around. But then there are the tertiary level thinkers. Now, secondary level thinkers build their thought from what is already established. Tertiary level thinkers author their thoughts. So we call them imaginators. Okay, yeah. So they have not seen it before. They have not heard it before. But then they have that eureka moment every time, either, you know, while they're driving or something. Something speaks to their minds, suggesting, you know, some architects, you have a lot of them. They come up with a lot. Yes, that is not to say they couldn't have, you know, some build up from existing information, but they are recreating a world. What if this happens? Wild imaginations. And there are three things you can do with your thinking process very quickly. Okay. You can memorize. So yes, the man of memory makes something of what he's told, makes something of what he reads. So cram work. You are trying to memorize what you have been taught previously, what information you have, okay? Then we have the imagination. So imagination helps you imagine. You put image, okay, to words, to thought, and then you recreate. And then you've got those who meditate. So at the place of meditation, you sit down, you close your eyes. So you get into someone's office. Okay, he's a futuristic thinker. He's a futurist, right? And then he's working. His work is to sit down. So some organizations, do they have them? Mm. We have futurists. We have meditators, right? Who sit down and they can picture the next 100 years, the next 50 years. They are visionaries. Okay, all of this, okay, would come together to make the substance we call ideas.
All right, now we'll come back to this after this quick commercial break. right, welcome back to the Sunny Side. I still have our guest, Ikechi Wogu, a man of many parts, here with me in the studio. And we're still talking how to think, make, and grow ideas in line with the current reality. Now, before we went in the break, you did mention the fact that some organizations have some of these persons. And I quite agree with you, because I don't know that there are people that are just paid to think as an organization.
It's important.
Yeah. And then some world powers, or would I say some climes, have think tanks in every sector that make up the economy. Agriculture, information technology, as many sectors as you can possibly think of. Their job is not to do the hard work. Well, people think thinking is not enough hard work. I mean, even in the advertising industry, some of the beautiful ads you see that capture your attention and propel you to make the decision to buy or not to buy, someone sat down and thought about those things and then put them together. They flashed them by management. Management okayed them. They went on with execution, and boom. I mean, there's some ads that will never leave my head today. And I ask myself, the brain or the team, sometimes it's a team, they have their own office. All they do, they come to work, they dress up, but what they are doing is brainstorming. I say, oh, let's try this. Or can we do this? Or I just thought about something. Or how would it look like if we do implement this? Those kind of people, are they featured under the futuristic people? Are they featured under the meditators?
Well, it's all an embodiment of everything. And every organization really needs them. We need to think tomorrow. You know, at some point I was in some conversation where we're thinking to create what we call the National Ideation Center. We need to, once upon a time, it's more than 2-3 decades when we last had the national think tank, right? I think headed by Professor Bolaji Akiemi. Because every nation needs to think, okay? Every nation needs to put some prime thoughts together, or otherwise create a platform for people to bring in suggestions on innovations, whether it's from Agric or EduTech or whatever, you know. And I like to think tomorrow. And then, you know, you even get on the platform, the World Economic Forum, and then you Google World Economic Forum 2025, and you'll be amazed. Some present day jobs are getting obsolete very quickly. And then so I was trying to assess the prime job areas or the prime work areas in the future, and we have things like critical thinking skills, analytical thinking skills, problem solving skills, futuristic thinking skills. That's where ideation comes in.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's really important, because you'd realize, we've been told severally that skill sets expire over 5 years. And so a lot of us sit down after when last did you get your degree, your last certificate? Maybe your first degree was gotten 20 years ago, 30 years ago. What have you done about it? What short courses have you done? Some 1 week, 2 months? Because you need to be on top of the game. Those of us who are into edu and tech, you realize that every time, in fact, there are some times we have to mix our team. We have to bring in some very young ones, because we are in our 40s, okay? Some of us are even in our 50s, okay? Some others, the young ones, are in their 30s. We have to bring in some 20-year-olds, some interns and all that, to come rethink. Sometimes we have to even go into destructive thinking. We have to go into disruptive thinking. So even what you think is a bright idea, somebody has to just make rubbish of it, okay? Not for the pleasure of it, but for the sake of rethinking it and rejigging it and re-enlivening it and coming up with something that is more in tune, yeah, with the future, the kind of future you're going to. And of course, you know, every idea, no matter how smart it is, dies by the second, okay? Because every time there is a new breath, there's a new thought and there's a modification. So we must open up ourselves to those realities and stop feeling like local champions, because the world is advancing and we are fast, you know, being left behind. So at some point we would need to play catch up. And I don't know how quickly we can run to catch up with the rest of the world. Yeah.
Okay. Moving forward, I would like to ask, how can ideas be fully harnessed to produce desired results? Because like you rightly said, I have been to events where people were called forth to pitch the ideas, maybe for some grant or some level of funding. And, you know, you sit down and you see, oh, brilliant, brilliant. How was this able to, this person able to think of something like this? And at the end of the day, one person gets the funding or one person gets the grant. It's almost impossible for everyone who pitched. And it only takes someone else in the audience who perceives to a large extent that that idea is worth giving a try. Who's willing to risk it? Because, you see, funds are going to be put to use to make for realization of those ideas. So who is willing to risk it? And then when there is no funding, the person goes back and, you know, throws everything away, throws the manuscript away, throws whatever has been put together. I think for those of you who are movie people, if you had seen the movie Acrimony, the husband of the lady had come up with something brilliant, but his problem has always been funding. He tries it today, he blows up everything in the house, they have to fix, until it took a lady to say, you know what, bring whatever you have, bring the manuscript, bring whatever you had created and all that. And they found that it was indeed brilliant and they were willing to invest. So for people who do not get investors, who have to fund on their own, and for some of them it's not even funds that they need, they just need a platform for exhibition. How can they move from, you know, thinking of these ideas to harnessing them to bring the desired results?
Okay, so I'll put what you just said into four components. Okay. You've heard the word poem before.
Yeah.
Poetry, right?
Yeah.
So let's put ideas into the poem component. P for people. So every idea, no matter how smart it is, must relate to people's needs.
Okay.
People's desires. Must address societal longings and yearnings. So you must put the people element. I mean, your idea must not be vague, okay? It must concern people. It must have a landing on people solutions, right? Now, number two, operations, the how-tos. The reason why a lot of innovators die out in business on and on again is because they're not very well able to put together the operational content. Okay, so you need to know the how-tos to your business. How should this business function? How should this business run? Who is the chieftain? Who are the foot soldiers? The operations, the day-to-day workings, the processes of the business, right? Then number three is the economics, E for economics. The economics of your ideas. That's where money management comes in, from capitalization. Now, I'll talk about that a bit. For a lot of, the experience that I've got, a lot of young people who think they have ideas are looking for money, not funding. Yeah. So, and then when you give them X, Y amount of money, then there's what we call spending, as different from investing. They're not the same thing.
Okay.
So, but the real entrepreneurs will want to reinvest themselves, reinvest their substance. So you have a little bit of cash, okay? You could sell a biro, and then that money becomes like investment money. That's capital. And you want to do that. So it's not everything you earn that you consume. So you see the consumer mentality. Just like we have three levels of thinking, we could also have three levels of consumption. In biology, we're taught that we have primary, secondary, and tertiary consumers. So the primary consumers just eat it raw. They are mostly like animals. They eat, they see the meat, they don't cook it, they don't process it, they just eat it, right? The secondary consumers would process, like human beings, right? Would cook it, would kebab it, would suya it, right? But the tertiary consumers would translate it. So it's cattle, and we're not just selling it as raw meat, okay? They'll convert it to hides, then hides to leather, leather to shoes, to belt, to bags and all that. That's tertiary consumption. So you're converting this to something else. I know of somebody in one of these in Ghana that is now converting waterproof bags to coal. Yeah, so he molds them into this coal to run industries and all that. So those are tertiary consumption models, right? So the economics of consumption, the economics of your business, the economics of your idea will get you earning and growing. And a lot of these startup companies, these budding companies, do not really, they want to grow, they desire to grow. But when you give them a lot of money, they spend a lot. So I was chatting with somebody over the weekend, and I said, you have a child, and you give the child 50 naira, right? What do you expect the child to do with it? he'll buy biscuits. Now, as a child, you give him 500 naira. What will he do? He'll buy more biscuits. You give that child 50,000 naira. What will he do? He'll buy much more biscuits. You know why? Because he has not developed the brain around the economics of growth and investment. And then when that component of our existence is not properly developed, you realize that even some adults today, even people who get into government, just want to squander because they have not developed that ability to invest and grow. So the economics of business operations really matters. It's more than money. It's funding for investing and then for growth. Okay, and it's the embodiment of all of this that makes for societal capitalization and more funding and more development and more growth. Okay, so we have always yabbed our government. We say, oh, government in Africa would scarcely even invest. What they do is they sell the primary product, which is oil, for example, in Nigeria, and then they make money from oil and then they share. And then state governments only collect their own share. Local governments collect their own share and whatever they do with it. You scarcely see governments recreate substance and value to grow their local economies. You scarcely see governments, when last do you have a local government council run an innovation exhibition or a trade fair? Okay, yeah, we're lucky in Port Harcourt because Port Harcourt is the economic hub of River State. So you have all sorts, but it's not directly funded by the local council. Local council is not held responsible for most of what is going on. It's private sector driven, Port Harcourt Chamber of Commerce and all of that. Okay, so the economics of business or the economics of your idea will get you thinking value beyond your capital, thinking substance beyond your capital. And then the M is metamorphosis. So for POEM, we have people, operations, economics, and metamorphosis. So metamorphosis will define how the business would grow from level to higher level. So you start as a sole proprietorship or a partnership, and then it grows to a limited liability company, and then a PLC. It grows from the mono city, mono situational, mono operational base. Okay, and then you have multi city businesses. Okay, you also have mono territory, multi territorial. So your business could be situated in one country, but eventually it becomes transnational. So all of this will make for the metamorphosis, the process. So what level of play would you define for your own business? And that's what should determine, even at the beginning stage, you begin to see far into the future. Yeah.
All right, at this point, I'd like to open the phone lines. I'm sure some of you have questions and some of you have possible contributions. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. WhatsApp and Telegram number is 0809-030-6416. How would you react to the habit of hoarding ideas by certain individuals? The ideas are brilliant, but then, no, don't want to share it with anybody.
Yeah, you may not share with anybody because there are vision killers, but you must do something about it. If you have the funding, invest. Take the chance. I mean, the world is beautiful because of risk takers. Okay, someone once tied his hands out with coal on tar, and today you have coal tar, you have roads. Someone once tried himself out with calcium carbonate. That's the chemical name for cement, right? CaCO3, right? I hope I'm correct. I hope I esteem my chemistry. Yeah, and that's what we call cement, right? Okay, so on and on and on. So risk takers. Don't let me tell you about my experience at the Ubudu Cattle Ranch. I decided to take the risk. So we went as a team. The organization went as a team. And I said I'll be the first person to ride on the cable car. And then guess what? This is Nigeria. Welcome to Nigeria. And then lightning struck. And then the cable car just stopped at the middle of nowhere. It was risky. But I can live to tell the story because I didn't die. But you need to know who got laughed at. My colleagues laughed me to scorn. Because, you know, at the Ubudu Cattle Ranch, you have what they call the devil's elbow. It's a terrible bend. So you could drive up to the ranch, but you don't want to drive. So there are two risks. You choose the lesser risk. So between the cable car and then the cable car is almost like you're in some helicopter, and you can look down, you can't see the bottom. So it had better not crash. And then you look up at it's held by some magnetic force. Okay, so it's not like it's hooking on the cable. It's just touching the cable by the laws of magnetism. So you don't realize all of that until you're in there and then it stops. There was power outage. and then it stopped at the middle of this. You know, it was fixed immediately. It was a fault. It was fixed, but it was a beautiful experience. But that was a risk. Mm. Someone had to take the risk to realize, hey, something is wrong. Let's go fix it. Okay, so we had to call their attention. And then my colleagues called the attention of the technicians and they fixed it. But someone took the risk and it has remained a memory.
I think this one is what is common to some persons. There's a very huge possibility that different people could possibly have the same idea. What then can give you an edge over the next person? I give you a practical example. Before now, we didn't have as much restaurants as we have now, okay? Fast food restaurants here and there. In fact, I take River State for example. In my time, only one restaurant was the restaurant. I don't know where that restaurant is today. I don't know if it's still in existence in any other state in Nigeria. But you see how people looked forward to going to that particular restaurant to eat. And they were like a monopoly. It seemed like they had hacked, you know, all it takes to run a restaurant. 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, they're nowhere. Now, do we have several other restaurants modeled in that particular pattern today? The answer is yes. Why would I eat at restaurant A or this fast food and not eat at this fast food? It may be hinged around things like, where is it located? What do they offer apart from food? And I think a lot of people are learning how to cook these days, because with the current realities on the ground, who wants to go and spend thousands of naira eating a meal that can make food for the entire family? And then someone else thought, you know what? Yes, we're going to offer the same service his restaurant offer, but we're going to offer them something fresh, hinged around their specifications. So it's no longer just fried rice. We're going to have the fried rice prepared when they come. So they're getting it fresh. And they're going to tell us, do they want it spicy? Do they want it bland? Do they want it, you know, somewhat hard? Do they want it very, very soft? It's still a restaurant. And another organization comes and says, okay, we want to have fast food. We want to have a la carte. We want to have people who want to, you know, eat healthy. So we're giving a plethora of options to these people. Hey, it's still a restaurant. All right. So we all had the same ideas. We all had the, some of them would say it's passion. Passion. Passion is what you hear. Ah, I have the passion. Ask anybody why they want to do something. I have the passion always comes first. So beyond the ideas, beyond the passion, beyond similarities in the ideas that are, you know, exhibited, what can give you the edge over the next person?
There's a whole lot that comes into play in answering this question. Mm. Okay. But we may not have the luxury of time and space to deal exactly as it is, because we want to avoid calling names. Mm. Right? But I'll say very simply that the future happened to some of those restaurants, and the future is happening to a lot of companies. Like in COVID, you discover a lot of companies shut down. Mm. Okay, because these were some companies that weren't in a hurry to innovate, to get into the scheme of things. So a lot of these companies didn't quite think tech as a thing. And the world is fast advancing into models and modes of tech. Today we have AI, we have ChatGPT. Yeah. And who's embracing this? We have to quickly find out, well, we're lecturers, we're the academia. How can these things, these tools come to our aid? Because they are easier. I mean, I mustn't get my pen on paper to write everything anymore. Even my signature, we've got digital signatures. Okay, we've got signature scans. Okay, so you have your signature, just get it on every document officially. Okay, and sometimes, in some cases, in most cases, nobody would even know you were in there physically to sign it. You can sign documents from abroad and all that. So people have to step up. So I remember once in one of those restaurants you're talking about, I went there and I was asking them, can't I have a giddy? You're always selling fast food, right? The pastries and stuff. Can't I? They weren't even selling pasta then. Mm-hmm. Can't I have a giddy? You know, and even moi moi. And we laughed. The man now said, in fact, no, don't worry, come next week. We're preparing to bring loy loy. And we laughed about it, okay? He wasn't being sarcastic. He was just sharing in the thoughts. But guess what? Less than a year or two, another restaurant opened up. And they were now selling the moi moi and even some swallow. Mm. which was more in tune with our culture and what most people would want. It was a bright idea. And today, which restaurant can exist without selling our local delicacies? Because we have the different kinds of rice. It's more homely now. We even have the other ones.
Rice, yeah, Banga rice.
Yeah. We've even got the restaurants today that don't even do anything called pastry. Okay, they don't even do much of pasta. They do our local delicacies. Innovation.
It's still food.
Yeah. We have the point and kill cases. So people are innovating. So why can't I come here and just point what I want to eat? The size of goat I want to slaughter for my whole, the size of fish and all that. So ideation and innovation. People are rethinking and rethinking. And that's why some restaurants, some businesses will naturally get into extinction. Because there's a book, I don't know if you've seen it, by Malcolm Gladwell. It's David and Goliath. He's telling the story about big brands versus small brands. And so sometimes big brands grow into mammoth proportions and then they lack the flexibility, especially of decision making. So for a small company, you can walk into the CEO's office and make your suggestion known. For a larger corporation, then they're not even able to manage the processes. In the smaller corporation, you know everybody. Hey, Denise, how are you doing? But in the larger corporation, you might even be arguing with your subordinate from another branch of your office at the airport, you know, so it has grown. And a lot of people are not well able to manage big. And so their organization begins to die out. And death is not a one-day process. It dies out slowly, okay? While you have a lot of younger corporations springing up very fast, startup companies springing up, doing very well, okay? But then another thing is intention. A lot of the businesses have died out because the CEOs never intended to sustain their businesses. Okay, or the founders never intended. Their intention was to make some money and japa. So it was a bright idea. I can't wait to leave this country. And then they make as much money as they can. I think it's wow. It's a wow idea. And then the next thing you hear that this business has folded up or they've been sold to somebody else. Or you just drive past the street, you discover that they are renovating. Somebody else has bought over. And you get into the storyline, you hear that the man has left the shores of the country because that was his original intention. He needed money. And he wanted to start out a bright idea. So the intentions should, the objectives rather, should be known and detailed. And of course, even if I wanted to jackpot, there are processes I could put in place to sustain my business. So sustainability really counts.
All right, a message here says, Podhakad, good afternoon, Denise and Kelechi. No, it's Ikechi, not Kelechi. They've renamed you. One of our greatest misfortunes in this environment is that the managers of our government are primary level thinkers. In their apparent pettiness, they hear a story from one side and without probing the veracity of allegations, go ahead and crucify. We need to begin to reason some profoundly. We need to begin to reason more profoundly before making decisions and taking action. Thanks. Abokari, send that in. Someone says, good afternoon, Denise and the guests. If Nigerians are cultivating ideas, they would have been able to use their brains for inventions instead of thinking of empty treasures. All right, moving on. In simple, how would I put it? I think we have roughly about 5 minutes or 6 minutes or so. In the way that everybody listening to this conversation will understand, what ideas can we begin to think of in line with the current realities?
Well, I don't put ideas into people's minds. But then, we the best way to think ideas is in line with problems, challenges. Yeah, so ideators should find a way to solve problems, including our political problems. You know, whatever food problems, I mean, we need to think about how to improve on our techniques, farming techniques. Okay, herdsmen, farmer crisis, what best can we do? Okay, like I remember I was sharing in the program, you know, the experience in about, you know, some years back, a Chinese brand wanted to invest as much as $1.5 billion, okay, into shoe manufacturing in Aba. Okay, I don't know where that idea has gone to. I read it in the dailies. I don't know if they made good that idea, that thought, you know. And then I began to think that was the heat, that was the peak of the farmer herder crisis in Nigeria. And I said, I wish the state governments of those, some of those northern states would begin to negotiate with the Abia state government at this time. It was an idea that jumped into my head. I put it in one of my books, right? So what was the plan? If you look at, if you go down memory lane, there was this in the 80s, early 80s, we had the BCC Lions of Boko. It no longer, it's defunct now, right, from Benue. Now, BCC Lions of Boko was funded by the CSR component of an Italian brand that would come by Hides and Skin. And the components, so Benue State will produce the food basket, they'll produce cattle and then export hides and skin. But then that company will do more than buy the hides and skin. Okay? They would convert everything. You know, there's nothing about the cattle that is called wasted. Yeah. So the hoofs and the hoofs and the horns were used to produce some designer buttons for shirts. Okay. And then of course, you know, the hides, those they will export to us, back to us, shoes and leather belts and all that. Everything, the interior of the cattle, including the dung. I've seen dung in Jerusalem. I've seen dung in Thailand used for, you know, so their ranches, right, work by what we call backward integration. So the cattle we fed grass, okay, and the grass would nourish them. And then when they excrete, it goes down a certain drain into a chamber that seems like a septic tank. But then that chamber is separated into the three components of waste. So solid, liquid, and gas, right? Now the liquid component is reintroduced either as liquid fertilizer for the rice farms or otherwise for water.
Wow.
Yeah. Then the solid, okay, is introduced as manure. It's now like fiber or something. It's reintroduced as manure. And then the gas is introduced as methane that is used to run the gas turbine that powers the entire electric component of the farm. So the farm is situated somewhere in the village, has no communication with the city, but they run themselves. Likewise, the rice farm and the poultry. So they have rice farm, poultry, and then you have your fish farm. Now, the wastewater from the fish farm is used to use for irrigation to water the rice farm. And of course, you can imagine all the nitrates and all that in. So the poultry is set above the fish farm. You have like 100 plus thousand fish, right? And then the birds are fed with some rice, waste rice from the rice farm, feeding the birds. You have like 10,000 birds. And then when the birds excrete, they excrete into the water and then the fish eat it. Okay, and grow fat. You know, so we need to have such systems where we eradicate waste in Nigeria. And so I was thinking that, you know, they could interact with the Abia State government. Let's supply you leather to run your factory. But in Nigeria, we don't think like that. Sadly so.
Sadly so, indeed. The final commercial break, we come back, and sadly, we would have to round off this conversation. Just stick around, we're Nigerian for.
It's natural to have different ideologies. We tend to see things from different perspectives. So, share your views on the sunny side as we make room for philosophical, ethical, and thought-provoking discussions. The Sunny Side, 12 noon to 3 p.m., Monday to Friday, on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to the Sunny Side. You know, when we have conversations like this, it's so sad that we have to end them at some point. So, in 1 minute, I don't know how you can encapsulate all of this, but how can one think and, you know, grow ideas to go in line? Like you said, you cannot think ideas for anyone. But I know there are people that literally leverage on their ability to think ideas for people, and they get paid for it.
Yeah, they get paid for it, but well, you need to think it through and through, end to end.
So yeah. How would you encourage one to not just think ideas, but grow them in line with current realities?
Okay, so I'll just say very quickly, ideas should answer to certain questions. The what question. So what is it I'm doing? So your ideas must have substance. They should be substantiated, right? They should answer to the how question. That's the process question. So they should follow a procedure. They should be procedural. Your ideas should answer to the time question, the when question. So ideas are seasonal. seasonal businesses. There are businesses you can only do in winter. There are some you can only do in the Harmattan.
Yeah.
Okay, of course, you've got crops, agri products, yams and all that. They don't grow around the year. Okay, so they grow at a certain time. You plant them at a certain time. You plant your corn at a certain time. So they are seasonal. Your ideas should also answer to the where question. They should be geographical. There are some businesses that can only function in a certain part of the country, not in every part of the country, okay? Now, your ideas should answer to the question of institution and sustainability, okay? So, identify ways to put permanent solutions to temporary longings. Your ideas should be preservable, right? They should present a store of value, and then there should be a means of expansion to your ideas.
Some persons on Facebook says anything, John Spee says, anything that can generate income as long as it's legit, no wahala. Makachika DK Nuba says, how to become a politician and steal money? That's the only way to survive with the current realities. Thank you so much, Saike Chiwogu, for your time. And we look forward to more conversations like this.
Yeah, God keeping us alive, right?